Sorry I killed the delivery. Anyway, boys like to brag. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you for your word. God, put your word in us in a powerful way. We thank you for this season. I ask for a timely word that will be timely, specific to each individual in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. So this sermon is entitled Season of Promise. It's a new season. And, you know, we're singing about, you know, crossing over the Jordan and going into the promised land. We're talking about, you know, what does that look like? What is your promised land? And each one of us has a different promise, and we have a different promised land. But we have the same God. Somebody say amen. Amen. You have permission to say amen. And Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying to him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Can I just say this? It's hard for me to read a passage without commenting in between. But, you know, some of you guys just need to realize that stuff is dead. Can I just tell you right now, some of the stuff, not in a good context like Moses, but in another context, some stuff you guys have been focusing on, it's dead. Let it go. Leave it alone and move on to the next season. Unless a seed go into the ground and die, you can't get the new life. It takes a death to get the life. The seed has to die to have new life. But if you're stuck on the death, you'll never enter the new life. Let it go. You with me? I had a business that failed. So what? Look at Abraham Lincoln. He failed. And then he was one of the greatest presidents. And look what he did. Let it go and move on. It's a new season. Well, I had a relationship and I was terrible. So what? You're a daughter or a son of the king, blessed with the resources to be the best relational than any person on the planet because you're a king's kid. You have all the tools of heaven for your relationship. Oh, I'm bad. No, let that stuff go. Let it go. Let it go. Well, I'm not too bright. When the wisdom of God's in you, he confounds the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of man. What about prosperity? Jesus, he can pull prosperity out of a fish's mouth. He can multiply elements. How about there's a new season. Amen? Somebody needed that. Look at your neighbor and say, is it you? No, don't do that. Just let's go on. Then he tells him, every place the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you, as I have said to Moses, from the wilderness of Lebanon to the great fair. Come on, Lebanon. Ooh, I got some cheering section over here. What's up? And as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittite, to the great sea, towards the going down and the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. That's one we should all be grabbing right there. God will be with us. Come on, Emmanuel. God with us. God in us. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Leaving means gone. Forsake means something you shut down in your heart. Some people leave in a relationship, but some people shut down their heart. That's forsaking. So God said, I'm not only not going to leave you, I'm not going to cut you off. I'm not going to cut my heart off. I believe there were some people buying that lie. That's why I was prophesying to some princesses, because you equate being alone here as if God forsook you there. That's not true. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Those are Jesus' words as well. And he says, be strong and be of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. He gives the keys to success. Here, meditate on this word. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Somebody should say amen right there. Now, I preached a sermon on this text in June called Breakthrough Faith. And I'm not going to cover the same things, but I want to come out of this passage. And 2 weeks ago, I preached a sermon out of Philippians 4 called Think About It. And out of Philippians 4, talking about what we meditate on. In this text has both those principles, and I'm going to dovetail something out of this to help give you some practical tools, some tools that are going to aid you in breakthrough for you to receive your promise. Now, when we say promise or promised land, sometimes, you know, we're like promised land. What's that mean to me? I'm not like a farmer. I'm not climbing over a hill. I'm not climbing a wall. I'm not crossing a river. Come on, I work in downtown San Diego, or, you know, I work on the campus, or, you know, what does that mean to you? Your promised land is your dream, your vision. It's what God has spoken to you. It's your ministry. It's your mission. Every one of us has a ministry and a mission on this planet. You should say amen. You should be in agreement. You have a mission and a ministry. You say, well, you know, you don't understand. You know, I got all these kids, you know. That's your mission right now. That's your ministry as well. But there's seasons. Are you with me? And sometimes in seasons, sometimes, you know, there's seasons, and but we all have a part to play in this. But I want you to connect. I don't want you to disconnect. I don't want you to just say, that's Joshua. Okay, I know the story. Well, what's your story? Because God wants to take a new chapter in your story. He wants to write a new chapter in your book. You have promises. You say, well, you don't understand. You know, all I want to do is I'm retiring. I want to go fishing, you know, and it's like, you know, hey, there's no retirement in God. You have another chapter. Right. You just get to do it with more wisdom than before. Someone should amen me for that one. Amen. Come on. I'm so glad that I'm not where I used to be. I wish I was younger. I don't want to be back there. I was dumb and stupid. You know, like, no. How about no? You have a season in front of you. So, well, you know, you understand, I've already done my stuff. You don't understand what I went through and what I did. No one's benched in God's game. Everyone gets to play. We're all in the game. And when he told Joshua, he said, tell all the people we're crossing over. Tell the leaders to tell all the people. So you may be listening here and you're a leader in this church. You have a ministry. Maybe you lead kids in the nursery. Tell those little ones. Tell them you have a destiny. You have a future. You are bright and sharp. You're going to serve God. You're going to do great and mighty exploits for God. Prophesy over them. You know, you have a ministry in the parking lot. Great. When they're coming in, prophesy. Thank you. They're entering into their blessing today. They're going to get promises that are going to shift their life. You have a mission and a ministry. There's no small mission or ministry, just small minds. Expand it. Get a hold of it. Don't disconnect when you read a familiar passage. Now, this is the real passage the Lord spoke to me. He highlighted these two verses, and this is the meat, Joshua 1, 10, and 11. I'm going to refer to the other verses, but I want you to catch this. He said, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp, command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Amen. This was clearly a shift in season for them, because they were in a desert season and they were getting a shift into a fruitful season. So you may say, I'm not in a desert season. It's pretty good. Maybe you've been sowing and reaping, but there's also different types of seasons. We used to have this one plum tree at our house growing up, and every year it would have plums, but about every 4 years it'd have like a bumper crop. It wasn't doing bad. We water that thing, and we know there's plums going to come, but about every fourth year we had to put sticks under the branches or they'd break. And there was so much fruit, if we didn't give it away to other people, it would rot on the ground. We couldn't eat the fruit on the tree. We had 10 kids. How many of 10 kids can eat a lot of plums? And we can throw them at the neighbors. Oh, we were bad. We had a use for some of them other ones. Oh, we were bad, 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 bad. Sorry. Flashback. Teresa would be in the front row going, stop, stop, stop. My mom, oh my goodness. I'm glad she wasn't there to see a lot of that stuff. She worked 3 jobs. Ha! She's an awesome mom. And how many know, like, there's a season coming where you're going to have an overflow that you have to learn how to give it away. And you can be in need and want and saying, we always need. You know, I used to hang on the refrigerator. You know, it's like, just get something, eat it. I don't know. You live there hanging on it. Any parents have their kids like that? You're going to have so much, you have to give it away. Just saying, there's a season. We got to recognize the season that's before us. And as the season is here, it's coming and there's a bumper crop coming. It's clearly a season where we're entering into. I was thinking about when Jeff Jansen was here and he blew the silver trumpet. And how many of you know that when you blow the silver trumpet, that's what would happen when they were in their season, is that they would blow the silver trumpet. And when the people all knew the silver trumpet was blown, that was time to pack up the camp and to move. So the glory would move. So they were moving into the glory. When the silver trumpet was sounded, they were moving to another level of glory. God said, you don't, oh, well, God just moved the glory to another place. It's the same thing. No, the Bible says you go from glory to glory. And they were going from glory to glory. They were going to new heights. They were going to another level. So I believe there was a shift prophetically, even as he prophesied, that God was doing a shift at Summit, because everybody knows at Summit, shift happens. And the leaders they sensed there was a shift spiritually that was happening, but it was a shift for the good, and there's a shift for the good. How many of you know that change is good, but it's good when change is good? How many know change sometimes might not be so good? Like, if my change is like I can't fit into my drawers, it's not so good. You know, you know, sometimes, like, as we get older, we just have furniture problems when our chest has fallen into our drawers. It didn't go over so well. But I just better stick to the sermon. I'm just killing it. Some things, seriously, like, sometimes change is welcomed and sometimes change isn't good. When you're younger, all change is really good change. This, I'm having a baby, I'm doing this, I'm moving, exciting career. As you get older, change, sometimes people don't like change as much. But spiritually, we all need to get ready for change, because change in God's economy is good right now. It's a good thing. I was thinking of a prophecy Sean Smith prophesied, and the Lord reminded me of it. So I went and got Teresa. She's like the chronicle. She has all of them down. She played it on her iPhone for me. And we listened to it, you know, and she's really good at all that. And I would listen to this prophecy, but he spoke of a convergence. And he said there's a convergence happening. And this convergence is coming. And he prophesied a convergence. And he said there's a convergence coming at Summit. And as he prophesied it over us, he was saying that there was something happening. It was really interesting. A time of convergence is when this multiplied good is being multiplied, not just good adding, but good multiplied. It's a Kairos moment. He prophesied there was a Kairos moment. And when a Kairos moment comes, it's a season of reaping. It's a season. A Kairos moment is a God-appointed time to act. Say, a God-appointed time for me to act. Your Kairos moment comes, and it's a God-appointed time for you to act. Kairos moment is a moment in time when the Holy Spirit draws near to do a special work in and through a person or a group. The Holy Spirit creates and orchestrates these Kairos moments. And Sean continued to say this Kairos moment, and that there was a convergence, and he was talking about one of the professors at Fuller, and he said it's a convergence where you're gifting, say gifting, your favor, your calling, and your life experience all come together. How many of you like when your gifting, calling, life experience, and the favor, come on, someone say favor from the Savior. When that all comes together, it's one thing. Your gifting is a gift from Him in the first place. Your favor is favor from heaven. Your gifting is from Him. And your experience in life helps you to connect with the wisdom that comes from Him as well. Amen, somebody? When all that comes together, there's a convergence that's coming together. And God orchestrates something that's really powerful. And so he saw all these things were coming together. And I was thinking about it, like, when we were just in Africa, we were in the last nation when we went to the falls. We were in, not Zambia, Zimbabwe. We went in Zimbabwe and we saw the falls. Well, how many know when a bunch of rivers converge, you get this intense waterfall? Have you ever been there that where rivers come together and the river was one way, but after they come together, it's like, you know, there's like rapids coming out of it, because there's a convergence coming together. And maybe you can call it momentum. If you're on a football squad and you've got two people blocking, all of a sudden you pick up three or four more blockers, you've got a convergence that's like bulletproof. It's like people are just flying out of the way as you have this thing running down the field. Well, there's something God was doing to the children of Israel where he was opening up for the promised land. He just flattened the walls of Jericho. I mean, he promised they were going to go in. There was clearly this convergence where all God's promises and the favor on them as a nation, as a people, and their corporate anointing, as well as this their gifting and what they've sowed, and it all came together. And so I just feel like that's kind of what God is doing now. I feel like there's a Kairos moment. Now, Kairos is an ancient Greek word meaning It means the right or opportune moment, the supreme moment. The ancient Greeks had two words for time. One word was chronos, and one word is kairos. Say chronos.
Kronos.
And say kairos.
Kairos.
So, you know, and chronos and kairos, there's a shifting sometimes, and I believe there's a shifting even coming now in our, spiritually. Now, some people say being reactive is often, you know, it's despised. Don't be a reactionary, you know, be proactive, not reactive. Well, that's good advice sometimes, but which is better? Which is better model for a steward of God? Because if you look at it, being a steward for God, I'm stewarding the things of God. So let's just say like I'm a plow horse and I've got blinders on my eyes. I'm a plow horse and I'm just consistently furrowing the row. I'm looking down. I'm not looking to the right. I'm not looking to the left. Come on, like Joshua, somebody. I'm doing my thing. Right now, it's a season where we need to not look to the right and not look to the right. The right is this way and the left is that way. But I have to go back to dance class to figure it out. This is my left foot. This is, never mind. I never took a dance class. But the horse is looking straight down. It's focused. It's furrowing. And hey, man, we're sowing. We're supposed to be sowing. And we're on mission. Yeah, we are supposed to be on mission. But there's something more to that because there's a shift sometimes between that time. And there are seasons where maybe that's where you're at, but there's a kairos moment, and we don't want to miss that kairos moment because when you're stewarding the things of God, you can be that horse with blinders on it, or think about it, or you could be like a hawk whose senses are sharp and who's looking at everything. We were just up in Canada, and I was at Jeremy. We did a conference, and we got to fish for a day and a half, and there was bald eagles flying, so we're catching salmon, and there's bald eagles coming down. Awesome. Can you imagine a hawk sitting in a tree? It's not sitting with blinders. It's sharp. Its eyes looking all around. I mean, a little field mouse moves a half a mile away, and they're like, shee, boom. You're like, how did you see that? Because they have eyes like a hawk, hawk eyes, somebody in the building. Anyway, you know, and we need to have that because there's two different things here. So what I want you to see is there's chronos and kairos. So in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How many of y'all want to walk as wise? If you didn't raise your hand, you're saying I want to be a fool. So raise your hand. So the person next to you says, why didn't you raise your hand then? After the service, they're going to be like, really, dude? And so this verse 16 says, redeeming the time. How do you redeem time? How do you redeem time? There's 24 hours in every day. There's so many, you know, like there's so many minutes, so many seconds. You waste that. How do you redeem that? You can't get it back. It's spent. It's gone. Like you've heard that, right? This is not, chronos is hours, measurement, minutes, seconds. That's chronos. That's time. There's two words for time. What's the second word? This word in Ephesians is not chronos. It's kairos. It doesn't mean redeem the hour, minute, second. It doesn't mean redeem the measurement. It means redeem the kairos. And redeeming the kairos is totally different because the days are evil. So in our zeal, sometimes we can miss the wisdom of the Bible by just sticking into that chronos and keeping our head down instead of tapping into that kairos and being like that hawk that looks around. And so when he says redeem the kairos, he means something entirely different. And what he's telling us to do is he's telling us this kairos, this opportune moment, he's talking about. So let me give you three, there's three things that they use, because I've looked at all kinds of things on kairos about all these different people, and it's really good. This one says, kairos means an appointed time, an opportune moment, and a due season. Can I talk about those three?
Yes.
I'm going to do it anyway if you didn't say yes. So whatever. But anyway, opportune time, due season. Let's take them from the back to the front. Let's talk about due season. Couldn't it be that we've been sowing, sowing, sowing. And doesn't the Bible say there's a principle of sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest? Come on, somebody who reads their Bible, say amen. I've read that. The rest of the 90% of you, please tap in. The Bible says sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. So when I sowed, I'm going to reap. There's going to be a harvest, right?
Yes.
So there's nothing wrong with that. It's a biblical principle. But what happens if you've been sowing and it's bound to reap, and all of a sudden, what about the second half to that in a due season? Couldn't it be that somebody, there's a kairos moment where all of a sudden, have you ever found money on the ground?
Yep.
You didn't do anything for it, you picked it up. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That's kind of like kairos because you didn't do anything to sow for that. It's nothing. It just showed up and the favor of God was there. There's a kairos moment where some people will enter into what God's doing who didn't sow anything to get there. And Jesus said, don't be resenting those people when that happens, because it's me. All right? Don't go, you just got saved and you like are healing blind people. I've been doing this for 20 years. Never seen a blind eye. God. Don't do that stuff. But what happens if sowing and reaping and that kairos moment from God collide? It's a convergence. Not only have you been sowing and reaping, but now all of a sudden God says, it's my season. This is a bumper season. This is a new season. It's a bumper season. Some of you have never seen a bumper season. How many know? How many in here, don't raise your hands, you're under 50, so you're like, I've never seen a Jubilee year. So basically, because it's Jubilee, if you're only 20 years old, you haven't seen a Jubilee previously because it only happens every 50 years, right? It's just math. Come on, don't think too hard. God's going to take some of you to places you've never seen. Some of you have seen past revivals, but you've never seen this revival. Some of you have never seen any revival, so it's like, whatever, I'm in for all of it. What happens when sowing and kairos come together? That's a season that's going to be awesome. And then opportune time. It's like, come on. You could just be sitting there and then like, you know, like there's some animals in the animal kingdom. The male lion is just sitting there hanging out, and the female lion goes hunting and does all the work and then comes and sets the food in front of the male, and the male's like, dinner. That's pretty cool. He's just reaping. He didn't do anything. Really, they sleep 20 hours a day or up 4 hours. I'm like, crazy. Anyway, moving right along. I'm stuck on that point. But he got to reap off of somebody else's sowing. All I'm telling you is that there's a season coming where there's some crazy, awesome, good stuff that's coming. And we didn't have to do anything for it. We just have to have eyes to see it coming. He just had to wake up to eat. And we just need to not be with blinders on. We need to be those that are watching. And if we're good stewards of our time, we're going to walk into this. Now think about investing. If people would have known, like, you know, the real estate, that, like, there was an example of, there's a guy named Art. And he had a buddy that came to him, and Walt told Art, hey, he took him to Florida, and he said, you see all this swamp land? You should invest in it. It's going to be worth something. Art's like, nada, not going to happen. See you later, Art. I don't want nothing to do with this investment. He took off. Walt, whose last name was Disney, bought the land and developed it, and while Art Linkletter said it would never be worth anything, was totally wrong, because he said no one would ever come out to Orlando to swamp land to visit your dream. And everyone comes to Disney World, and now the land around Disney World's worth a lot of money. How many know Art missed his kairos moment? Because Art had his blinders on, and he missed it. Don't miss we don't want to miss the season that God's taken us in. I know everything, we're wealthy. And he could just stay to his little 4% investment instead of getting like 4,000% interest or multiplication he would have got on that land, if you know about that land. Anyway, there's all kinds of examples of it. How about raising your kids? Sometimes there's a season raising your kids where you're in a season raising them and you only have a window, and then later the kids are raised up, they've gone, they're in their own nest, and you're like, I wish I would have done more in that season. Let's not miss a kairos moment. Ministering to a hurting neighbor, there's somebody next door and you miss the opportunity because you got to go somewhere and you don't go take advantage of it, and they could have come to Jesus and they didn't because you didn't step in. They could have not messed up their marriage, but you didn't go jump in and give them that advice because you stepped back instead of crossing the chicken line. And a kairos moment is where there's a time where you're going in the flesh, it feels comfortable here, but the Spirit's saying, step out there. Right. And you have to cross this chicken line. I'm not being mean to you. I'm saying we're challenged all the time to take risks and step out. Yes. And if we're looking like the kairos, we're going to jump. We have a Bengal, and this cat is totally kairos-minded. And if she will cross the line, if she's focused on something, like this morning, she kept thinking there was something up on the top wall and she's over there trying to go, lift me up so I can kill this bug. There was no bug. She's psyched out on it. But she gets focused on it. She's psyched out on that thing. If she was after this, she wouldn't even think. Like, if I took her toy and I threw it up like this, she would leap first, catch it, and then go, oh, dog, you know. She'd go off a balcony if she had to, because she's not going to miss her moment. And some of us, we're like all checking the water, and it's like we need to get a kairos mentality that we need to just take advantage of the opportunity when the opportunity's here. And when God opens the door, it's like walk through it. And so we see this, that this Kairos mindset puts you in a position. Peter and John, when they went to the Gate Beautiful and they were just heading to church, it'd be like you heading to church and all of a sudden you're at Starbucks and it's like, I'm going to be late for church. I don't want to miss worship. Oh, silver and gold have I none. I don't have any money for you, but hey, man, let me pray for you. And then they get healed and saved and delivered. They put away their will work for food sign, and all of a sudden they're productive in society because you stopped on your way to church. Because you were just like kicked into Kronos. I'm late, I'm late, I'm late for a very important date. Hey, how about we stop? How about we look around and we get the eyes that look for the opportunity to minister? Oh, we're in a service. We can't stop to talk to prophesy over somebody because you saw an image. How about we stop to hear the still small voice? You with me? So we need to get a Kairos mindset to say all that, to say, number one, so we can either be which one are you? Are you a plow horse or are you a watchful hawk? So number one, we need to prepare to step in. I'll give them to you quick. Number one, we need to prepare to step in. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you, as I said to Moses. Sometimes we stand there and we go, God, if you're not going to heal, how about you step out? How about you step out? Well, I have asthma. Go run around the block. How about you step out? Yeah, in the moving, in the doing, Jesus said, stretch out your hand. They were healed. Go down to the pool. Well, I don't see anything. Go down to the pool. We have to step out. We have to step across. So the first thing is we need to step in. And what he said is every place the sole of your foot treads. So there's something we have to step out. We have to participate in this thing for us to step into our promise. They needed to step into the land instead of just standing there. When God wants it, he'll bring it to me. He knows where I'm at. How about we go? Serious. I've been in a meeting and somebody's calling out the miracle of somebody I know needs a miracle. And I'm like, dude, if they were here, they'd be totally healed right now. And they wouldn't step into the meeting because it was just too much and they were too tired. And I'm like, oh, God, help me. Please, I just wish I could have just got them in a headlock and drug them here. Because I know they would have got their miracle. I wouldn't want to drag them in a headlock. I'm just saying, you know, my goodness. It's like, step out. And some people are going, well, you know, I've seen that before. Nope, we're going a way that we've not seen before. And, you know, to some people, that's exciting. They're adventurous. They're like, I can't wait. That's going to be awesome. And some people are like, freaks me out. Think about it. Jesus ministry, this little boy's screaming, foaming at the mouth. Man, that's like, that devil stuff freaks me out. I ain't going to none of Jesus meetings. I'm going to the Pharisees. It's nice, cool, calm, and collected. Just hang out in the temple. I know where everything's going to happen there. I know when I'm getting out. I know what they're going to do. I know how to kneel, stand, when to do all the stuff. Don't understand Latin, but I'm there. It's me growing up in church. But, you know, I'm like, how about, don't want to go to that guy's meetings. People are freaking out. I remember walking by the Baptist church and these guys were raising their hands and clapping. And I'm like, whoa, church is weird at that place. You could have missed Jesus' visitations because you weren't used to what was happening because it was something new to them. If you read Acts, it was totally new. But if you read your Bible and you see those things, it's not new, but you skip over them. Just saying. So, we need to go somewhere, but it's okay to go somewhere we've never been before. It's okay. Our human tendency is to reject what we don't understand. If you don't understand something, you're going to want to reject it. It's normal. It's your tendency. Once you know that, you go, oh, cool, that's normal. That's me. I want to learn, God. Show me. Show me where it's in the Bible. Show me what's written there. And when you're like that, you'll see because God will show you and he'll teach you and you'll go a way you haven't been before. There's always room to grow. And so, moving right along, I mean, just think about it. You know, we need to step in, you know, and we need to expand our thinking because, you know, you're never going to rise above your highest thought. Which means if you don't tap into some God's way of thinking, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. As far as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. So if we're not tapping into the thoughts of God and into different things, then we're just going to get the same old thing. We'll get the same old results. So moving right along, next one, we need to step in. The next one, number two, is we need to lean in. He said, no man shall be able to stand before you. I mean, you can, I used to be a fighter. I like kind of that stuff. So like, you know, you get these wrestling things, you know, like, you know, and these guys with these big belts or these, how about the mixed martial arts, you know, it's like, the current champion of the world. Everybody's like, ah, nobody can stand before him. He ties him in a pretzel and throws him off the side. You know what I mean? It's like with the voice like that. You know, and we watch that stuff, but we like the idea of no one being able to stand before someone. Undefeated. This football team is undefeated. These people are undefeated. You like that, don't you? It's like everyone likes victory. And the thought of that, they said no one will be able to stand before you. Does it mean he didn't have an opponent? He had opponents. But it was, so what's it mean? And didn't he even get knocked down? Yeah, even Joshua got knocked down, but he got back up. He might have lost a round, but he never lost a fight. No one's going to stand before you because you'll stand to the end because you stand in Christ Jesus. And when you've done all else to stand, you keep standing because you're in Christ Jesus. Because a champion's in you who's already conquered sin and death. There's nothing more to win. You're more than a conqueror because you already conquered it. You just got to make it to the end of the bell and just keep standing there. And they knock you down, get back up and get ready to win because you have a winner inside of you. And God looks over you and he says you're a winner. No matter how much the devil tries to tell you, you're not. You're a winner. He told Joshua, you got to lean in. You know, in fighting like a prize fighter, you got to lean in. Joshua got spanked. In Ai, they got conquered. He's just sent a few thousand people. He had the victory of Jericho. He sends the next city to Ai. He only sends a few thousand. They get chased away. I think 30-something people died. They came back. Everybody's freaking out. Warriors freaking out. Warriors going to bed going, what just happened? What just happened? What just happened? Have you been there spiritually? You feel like you got spiritually whooped? And you're going, what just happened to us? We totally missed this. What just happened? You know, very few things surprise me, but I've had some what just happened moments. And Joshua didn't just go under his covers. Joshua went out in prayer and he leaned into prayer. Did you hear me? Joshua didn't just sit there. He went leaned into prayer. So much he leant down on his face and he's praying on his face. God walks in. God doesn't interrupt our prayers. God interrupted Joshua's prayer. So why did God interrupt his prayers? He loves our prayers, but he told Joshua's on his face. God came up to Joshua and he says, get up. Why do you lie there on your face? The children of Israel have sinned. Do this, this, and this. And God got him. Why? Because God told Joshua something that was powerful. In Joshua 7:13, God told him three things. He said, get up, sanctify the people, and sanctify yourself. When you start hearing this loosey-goosey message where there's no sanctification, we're all messed up. God said, sanctify the people and sanctify yourself. Jesus said, be holy as I'm holy. But the difference is it's not just even where he was, and they had to go do some stuff. Two things, if you're going to be an overcomer, what is the two things? In Revelation 12:11, it says, we overcame by him by the what? Blood of the Lamb and the what? So we have to take Jesus' victory, and we need to, the word of our testimony. We need to be declaring it. We need to say it. David didn't just go out there and Goliath said, I'm going to take your head off. And he's like, oh. He said, my God is going to have his way with you. It's the word. You need to like take it and you need to declare it. So sometimes you need to lean in a little bit. When the devil's saying all kinds of stuff, I'm going to run you over, I'm going to crush you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make all this bad stuff happen, you need to lean in a little bit. And you need to say, Are you with me? You need to lean in a little bit and base it back on the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, which means we need to open our mouth and start speaking like David said, no, not today. Today, the birds will be eating you, not me. And number two, we step in, two, we lean in a little bit. We need to catch our attitude. We need to lean in a little bit because Hebrews tells us, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, Hebrews 10. For you have need of endurance so that when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what's promised. If we're going to receive the promised land and receive what's promised, we need to hold on to our confidence. Yes. I used to fight in the ring, and when I fought in the ring and I was in there and I saw that I got them to lose their confidence where they're a little bit afraid of me, I got emboldened and I knew I was going to win that match because I got him now. He's afraid. When a team loses momentum, the other team momentum can take the worst team in the whole league and crush the best team if that team has momentum because something happened. They lost their confidence. Happens. Watch it. People say any team can beat any other team on any given day. Who's got the momentum? Who's got the confidence? We need to keep our game face on. So even when we're down, we get back up and we say, I've read the end of the book. I know who wins. Yes. I know I'm not in here because I'm so good. I'm here because God's so good. I know I'm going to stand here. I know I'm going to make it to the end, not because I can stand so much, because he gives me strength to stand. Because he dusts me off. Oh, well, let me tell you about your sins. Let me tell you about the blood. Because by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Let me tell you about the blood. Let me tell you what he did. So we need to step in. We need to lean in. And the last one is we need to step up. Some of us, we need to step up our game. Say, I'm not doing so bad. You need to step up your game. Man, I do pray. How about we step up our prayer life? How about we need to step up our expectation? How about we need to step up some of the, we need to step up. We need to get rid of, he said, don't turn to the right or the left. Right now, Teresa started to say something to me. I said, I already had a dream. I'm not supposed to touch that. And there's nothing bad with it. It might have been an investment that might have prospered. I said, I already had a dream. God said, don't even go there. It's like God will already set you up for success and tell you to stay on the path so you don't get distracted. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. I'm going to stay on this. But I got to step up my game. And we got to step into the promise. And they had to step up. They had to step in. They had to lean in. And they had to step up. Now think about it. When war, when they blew the trumpet and everyone started to prepare, that means something different to each person, right? So you work at Starbucks. So when we say, okay, guys, Starbucks is about ready to close, that means something to every different person who's on shift, doesn't it? One person's thinking, I have a lot of dishes to clean. Another person's thinking, I got inventory, I got to take the money box, I got to do this. Everyone has a different mentality. When they blew the trumpet, how many know there was a different mentality of what that meant every time they blew the trumpet? We got to move camp. What's that mean? The people who prepare the food had to get food ready. We're going to be moving. Some men, shake your head. Thank God, I'm about over. Somebody's preparing food and thinking about it. Somebody give me an amen. Thank you for the people that prepare the food. Hey. And some people were taking down the tents. You know, all the people that like to do all the to-do stuff, they're like taking all the tents down. Thank God for those people. Some of the guys were like, ha, let's sharpen the swords. I got to be with that crew over there with the weapons. Sharpened, battle ready, let's get ready, locked and cocked. Come on, you're like, let's go, we're going in. Thank God for the food people, thank for those people dealing with detail. We got our weapons on with us, we're ready. We're ready to go. Wherever it comes, we are ready. We're prepared. There was all different things that we have to be ready for. Well, when we get ready to move forward, we need to realize there's all different levels of preparation. God said to prepare. So it's a command for everybody. So it doesn't matter what part. Every part's important to get ready. Hospitality is just as important as the prayer people. The intercessors are the Air Force. If the Air Force isn't ready, we're in trouble. Come on, the hospitality, they're the people handling the troops on the ground. If they don't get fed, you're in trouble. The worship team is like leading us into the presence of God. Without the presence, if the ark's not there, we're in trouble. Are you here? Everyone's important. But we need to understand something. Is when they were preparing the weapons, we need to do it a little different. It's not about a sword and a spear. Our weapons are different. When Jericho, and I'm closing, promise here. Think of it. I want you to go home with this. You got to take this. When Joshua went in, he went in with different weapons. Guys were all like ready with their swords and their bows and all their spears and their stuff. But God said, I got a different weapon for you. The guys are like, what's the battle plan? We're going to set up a rampart. We're going to go over the wall. We're going to go in. I'm in the first unit. Stick me first, coach. And Joshua's like, we're not doing it that way. We're going to go around the walls and do nothing for 6 days but march around the walls. Are you kidding, coach? You want us to do what? I want you to zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket, and don't do anything. The whole time they walked around the walls, they were humiliated from the walls. You mamby-pamby Israelites, you blah, blah, blah. I will do this to you. I will do that to you. They were humiliated for 6 days. God said, after 6 days of humiliation, you're right where I want you to be. My weapons and my warfare are a little different. We got to learn how to take a little humiliation. We got to learn how to be wrong. We got to learn how to take it a little bit, because God loves it when we come with humiliation, and he hates pride. Humility, not humiliation. God likes humility. Thank you. He likes us to be humble. He likes us to exercise humility, because God humiliated them. God knocked the walls down. They didn't have to do it. That was spiritual warfare. They didn't have to even do it. They didn't throw one spear, one rock. They didn't push one brick over. God caved it all in. Are you with me? Think about it. Then they go And the next, think about it. They go into the river. They had to cross the river. Did they set a bridge up? Did they get beavers to come in supernaturally and make dams? No. I know, that'd have been cool. It's like get a little Narnia in the situation. You want us to build a bridge for you? We got you covered. It's like, no beavers from Narnia in the whole picture. God dried it up, but he dried it up with the ark going before them, and the presence of God went ahead of them. We have spiritual weapons that are powerful. Don't neglect the spiritual weapons to enter into your promise. I don't need to go to church. How's that working for you? Really? I don't need to go to church. I don't need the corporate church. I am the church. I'm the church too, but I like the corporate church. I like CDs, but I really like the worship session. I like reading about miracles, but I like seeing the miracles happen. I like reading about love, but I like exercising love. How are you going to love on people when you neglect the church? How are you going to... We can't do that. How are you going to play? I like watching the replay. I like being in the game. Even if they trample me over and I get to watch someone else take the ball in, I'm like, ah, I'm still on that team. Boom, take that devil. Huh? Have you ever felt tore up? You're like, I'm here, and I'm just barely here, but there's a lot of great stuff going on. Thank you, Jesus. I just needed to know I'm on the winning team. Whew. It's okay to have a bad day. Would you stand with me? Your Kairos moment's coming. I think it's right here. I think God's already shifted the spiritual tectonic plates. There's already been a shifting in the spirit. It's already being loosed. We just need to start stepping in. We need to lean in a little bit. And we need to step up and watch God. Watch what he does. We get to participate, but boy, he's the one. He's the champion. He gets all the glory. He's the victor. He's what it's all about. But I just pray for you right now. I pray, God, that you just break off every lie. I just saw you just getting free. I saw people... And as I said, your sleep's going to be better. I'm serious. Some of you are going to sleep better. You've been having anxiety and torment. And I just rebuke the spirit of anxiety now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for rest, because we have to enter into the rest of a season of knowing that we're not going under. We're going over. It doesn't matter what it looks like. The champion. I mean, come on, man. When they heard Aslan roar, everybody's like, oh. Just a matter of time till it came and it de-thawed the different areas. Come on, when God kicks in, when the lion of the tribe of Judah steps onto the field, it doesn't even matter what's happened yet. They're all going down. There's a tag out where God's going to come in and he's going to put his super on your natural. There's something happening where he's going to turn your test into a testimony. He's going to shift the seasons, and even your reaping is going to get a bumper crop. You're going to see things you haven't seen, and you're going to go places you haven't gone before, but God's in it, and he's with you. He said, I'd never leave you or forsake you. His great love is with you, even in hard times. Even when Paul shook off the snake, he was with him. No matter what happens, God is with you, and he goes with you and before you. Get those eyes in Ephesians 1, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. God, I pray the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray their eyes would see like that hawkfish and like that hawk. I pray their eyes would see and they could walk in wisdom and enter every Kairos moment and take advantage of every Kairos moment that you're calling them into. It's not just spiritual moments. It's not just Gate Beautiful moment of healing. Those are there for all of us. But it's also knowing when to invest and when to step out. It's knowing when to start the business and when to walk away. It's knowing the Kairos moments of the times and the seasons so that you can capitalize on what God is giving you and what God's leading you into. So I thank you for that wisdom and revelation. I thank you for what you're doing. And I just pray, I just want you to just lift your hands up for a second. I pray that you would just have the very eyes of the Lord. Like Jesus said, I see what the Father's doing. I pray you'd see what he's doing. I pray you'd have a wisdom in your prayer life you've never had before. I pray you'd have revelation like you've never had it before. And I thank you for it, God. I thank you for that moment. I need the prayer team to start walking up here. I've preached too long. I've got to stop. So what happens when you don't let me preach for 2 weeks, man? I do too much in me. I'm just messing. Prayer team's coming forward. If you want to meet my Jesus and you don't know him, don't leave this building on your way to hell. Don't know if you don't know. If you don't know, get up here and get saved. If you need prayer for healing, they're here to pray for you. If you need a prophetic word, if you just need encouragement, they're here to just speak over you the blessings of God. But I just want to just wrap this. God, I pray you'd send them. I pray there'd be a new sensitivity. I know there is. I declare there's a new sensitivity. I declare there's a new, there's new eyes. It's like we've got polarized lenses and we can see down in the water now. There's a new vision. There's a new Kairos mindset that you've placed on your people. We take it and we hide your word in our hearts. And we just thank you. We will see the harvest like we've never seen before. So thank you, God, for it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Let's just give God a little praise. Hey, there's still an altar team up here, so they're going to put on a little bit of music, like slow enough for you to still hear, and you can come up and get prayer, fellowship in the lobby, go get your kids, love you, God bless you. Growth Track is happening up in the Summit Room at 1:30 in a half hour, and God bless you.